Let us humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace. Father Yahweh, we come before you with bowed hearts, with humble hearts, seeking, Father, a blessing from you on this, your holy Sabbath day. We know, Father, that we are but a vapor. We're just a whisper here, but a short time. And we know, Father, that it's only through you that we have this opportunity of salvation, that we have this opportunity to live with you forever. So we ask, Father, that you would help us to overcome this world and Satan the devil, to help each one of us seek your face, to help each one of us, Father, give our all to you, because we do love you. And we love your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, who came and died for each and every one of our sins. Help us, Father, to be faithful. Help us to show our love to one another. Help us as we, in our daily lives, love our neighbor. Help us to love our enemies as well. We know that this is a difficult thing for most people, but we know that through you we can do all things. It's through the strength of Yahshua the Messiah that we've overcome this world and Satan the devil. And that's why we can love our neighbor and our enemy. Help us, Father, to be faithful. Help us to not tread underfoot the blood of Yahshua the Messiah. But we ask, Father, that you would continue to bless your servants as we seek to do that which is right in your sight. And if, Father, we fall down, lift us up. Keep us in the hollow of your hand as we seek to do that which is right in your sight at all times. We know that often we go astray, but we know that you've told us in your word that a righteous man falls 7 times and rises yet again. So, Father, as we seek to be those righteous people that rise again and again, we ask that you would continually bless us and help us to overcome as we seek to do your will. In the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, we humbly come before you and ask that your word would have free course in us and have power in our lives. In Yahshua's holy name we pray, asking all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. I've been preaching, as I've been traveling, this series, Connected to the Source. And this is part 6 of that series. Almighty Yahweh wants us to have a relationship with Him, brother. That relationship is tied to our relationship with our brother, our neighbor, even our enemy. Satan wants to destroy all of our positive relationships, as he did with Yahweh and Adam and Eve. Do not be deceived, brethren. Satan is employing spiritual warfare against us and trying to come between us and our Heavenly Father. We're going to start in Proverbs chapter 24 for our opening scripture. That's Proverbs chapter 24. We're going to start in verse 1. Says, be not envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. That's something that's very important for our young people to understand. It's very important for us to desire to be with holy people, with people of like precious faith, those that want to serve Yahweh. For their heart, in verse 2, studies oppression, and their lips talk of mischief. Through wisdom is a house built, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge are the chambers filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases might, for by wise guidance you shall make your war. See, those that are fighting against the enemy are doing it by the word of Yahweh. Those that have the wisdom from on high. It says here, for by wise guidance, you shall make your war. And in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. That's important for us to understand, brothers. If we, in our battle, the spiritual battle that we're involved in, we understand the enemy. We know the tricks. We're not going to be as naive as Eve, who was beguiled, you know, by the serpent. We have some history. We can learn from the past, from the history of what happened in the garden. Turn to Genesis chapter 2. We see what happened in Genesis chapter 3, but we're going to go to Genesis chapter 2 right now and start in verse 15. Genesis 2, 15. It says, and Yahweh Elohim took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. And Yahweh commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but the tree of knowing the good and knowing the evil, you shall not eat of it. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So Adam was warned. The man was commanded. He was taught what he could and could not do. And we know what happened in the next chapter, how Satan went to Eve and beguiled her and tricked her. In verse 18 of Genesis chapter 2, it says, and Yahweh Elohim said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground Yahweh Elohim formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens, and brought them unto the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was the name of it. And the man gave names to all cattle, and to the birds of the heavens, and to every beast of the field. But for man there was not found a helpmeet for him. And Yahweh Elohim caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead of it. And the rib which Yahweh Elohim had taken from the man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. See, they had nothing to be ashamed of, because sin had not entered into the world. Satan hadn't caused them, hadn't corrupted. He hadn't come between them and Yahweh at that point. What I'm trying to get you to see here is that we are connected to the source. When we're connected to Yahweh, Satan can't come between us. There's nothing he can do. He's going to try and try. It's only if we allow him to deceive us, to cause us to sin against Almighty Yahweh, will that connection be broken. Yahweh made us in his image, brethren, and he wants us to be perfect. Look across in Genesis 1:27. It says, in Genesis 1:27, and Elohim created man in his own image, and in the image of Elohim created he him. Male and female created he them. Now, we have to understand Yahweh did not want man to know evil. He didn't want man to have the problems that we have. That wasn't a part of his agenda. He wanted us to have the good things, just like we want our kids to always have the good We don't want them to have the evil. We don't want them to experience the things that we had to experience that were negative. And we grew up in a different era when I grew up, the 60s. There was a lot going on in this country. I dealt with that in several other messages. But for the young people that don't know about it, it was difficult because, I mean, we still understood that Yahweh was with us. He was blessing us. But Satan got in and divided the country, you know, because of the right to vote. And we had Martin Luther King and what was going on. And like I said, I dealt with this in many of the sermons in the past. But what I'm trying to show is that as long as we are faithful to Almighty Yahweh and we, his people, are walking hand in hand, doesn't matter what color you are, doesn't matter how old you are, young or old, the key is that we're walking in faith, trying to fulfill that great commission that we've been given. See? That's what makes us brethren. That's what brings us together. In Matthew 5:48, it says, "You therefore shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." And that's what Yahweh wanted from each and every one of us. That's why we were made in his image. And this is why Satan is going out of his way to disconnect us from the source. He's trying to come between us and Almighty Yahweh. For us to be connected to the source, we must have Yahweh's Holy Spirit. And he gives his Holy Spirit to them that obey. And we can see that in Acts 5:32. It says, "And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, which Yahweh has given to them that obey him." When I'm speaking to people about repentance, about the things that they have to do to get back to Yahweh, to be reconnected to the source, I try to show them that they have to receive that Holy Spirit, that baptism in the Holy Spirit. They have to be drawn back to the Father because we have a purpose, and each one of us must learn what our purpose is so that we can serve him to our fullest extent. Turn to Matthew chapter 28, and we'll look at the Great Commission. That's Matthew 28:16 to the end of the chapter. It says, "But the 11 disciples went into Galilee to the mountain where Yahshua had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." There was still doubt. I hope there's no doubt today in any of our hearts or minds, brother. "And Yahshua came to them and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go you therefore and make disciples of all the nations.'" Has that happened, brethren? No, it hasn't. "Immersing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So Yahshua is telling us that he's with us, but he's given us a commission, something that we have to do. Now, a lot of people feel they don't have to be a part of an organization. They don't have to worship in a group. They can do this all by themselves in their own home. How is that fulfilling the Great Commission? This tells us to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. There's a reason for this, brother. There's a purpose here. And this reason that we've been commanded to do this our calling is to warn others to seek the protective, rescuing care of the Redeemer. We need the hearts of dedicated watchmen, brethren. The watchman is to make sure that his warning is understood and to entreat people to act upon that warning. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 33. Someone took the time. Someone dedicated their life to warning us. You think about it. Yahweh called us. But someone took the time to go out and preach the glad tidings that we would hear. So can we be selfish and say, well, we got it, so therefore, you know, that's it. We don't need to do anything else. No, there are other people out there that need to be connected to the source. They need to know about Yahweh and Yahshua the Messiah. In Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 1, it says, and the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land, and the people of the land take a man from among them and set him for their watchman. If when he sees the sword come upon the land and he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and takes not warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him, whereas if he had taken the warning, he would have delivered his soul. But if the watchman sees the sword come and blows not the trumpet, we can't do that, brethren, because we see what's coming. We know from the word of Yahweh what is upon this earth, soon coming upon this earth. And we have to blow the trumpet. We have to give that warning. Matthew 28 tells us to go into all the world and preach and teach this message. But if the watchman sees the sword come and blows not the trumpet and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So you, son of man, I have set you a watchman to the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. And this is what Yahweh is telling us to do. Give the world warning in these last days. When I say to the wicked, a wicked man, you shall surely die. And you did not speak to warn the wicked from his way. That wicked man shall die in his sin, his iniquity. But his blood will I require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, and he turns not from his way, he shall die in his sin and his iniquity. But you have delivered your own soul. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. You can keep your finger here. We're going to come back to Ezekiel 33. In Matthew chapter 13, we start in verse 24. Matthew 13 is about the sower. But this is is not the parable of the sower. We're going to start in verse 24. It says, another parable said he before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares also among the wheat and went away. But when the blade sprang up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. And the servant of the householder came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then has it tares? And he said to them, an enemy has done this. And the servant says to him, will you then that we go and gather them up? But he says, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather up first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. We know that this is about the end of the age. We know this is about those who Yahweh is raising up in these last days. Drop down to verse 36. It says, then he left the multitudes and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said, he that sows the good seed is the Son of Man. This is Yahshua, the Messiah. And the field is the world, and the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the evil one. So they're growing right next to each other in the world. And the enemy that has sowed them is the devil. The greatest lie the devil told, he has people convinced he doesn't exist. But the Bible tells us that he exists. We know evil exists. And he is trying to bring that evil into your life. But as long as we keep the covenant, as long as we're faithful to Almighty Yahweh, we have overcome the world. It says here, and the harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered up and burnt with fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that cause stumbling, and them that do iniquity, sin, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He that has ears, let him hear. It's time that we prepare ourselves to be connected to the source, brethren. We don't want Satan to come between us and Yahweh, as he did with Adam and Eve. Turn back to Ezekiel chapter 33. And we'll start in verse 10. Ezekiel 33. Verse 10, and you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, in this manner you speak, saying, our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we are rotting away in them. How then can we live? Say to them, as I live, says the sovereign Yahweh, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn you from your evil ways, and why will you die, O house of Israel? And you, son of man, say to the children of your people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression, in the day of his sin. And as for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall by it in the day that he, teshuvah, he returns from his wickedness. Neither shall he that is righteous be able to live by it in the day that he sins. When I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trusts to his righteousness and commit iniquity, none of his righteous deeds shall be remembered. They're going to be forgotten. But in his iniquity, that he has committed, in it shall he die. Again, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, if he turns from his sin and does that which is lawful and right. If the wicked restores the pledge, gives again that which he had taken by robbery, walks in the statutes of life, committing no iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of his sins that he has committed shall be remembered against him. He has done that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. Our calling is to warn others to seek protective, rescuing care of the Redeemer. We need the heart of dedicated watchmen. The watchman is to make sure that his warning is understood and to entreat people to act upon it. That's our job, brethren. But you know, Yahweh gives us six promises. And the first promise is forgiveness. He promises to forgive our sins. He says he will remember our sins no more. He will separate us from our sins as far as the east is to the west. The second promise is deliverance. Yahshua came to deliver us from the bondage of sin. And he did that. He overcame this world through his blood as the Lamb of Yahweh. The third promise is restoration. Yahweh has brought us to the point of insight and conviction at just the right moment. His timing is always right. Turn to Joel chapter 2. Yahweh is always on time. See, I guess it's because we're human. We believe that things have to happen in our time, but it's in Yahweh's time, and we have to learn to be patient. That's Joel chapter 2. Starting in verse 25. He says, "And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I set among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and shall praise the name of Yahweh Elohim." We're going to praise Yahweh for his restoration that has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame, and you shall know that I am in the middle of Israel, and that I am Yahweh your Elohim, and there is no one else, and my people shall never be put to shame. The fourth promise is reconciliation. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to start in verse 14. "For he is our peace, who made both one, and broke down the middle wall of partition, having abolished in the flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that he might create in himself of the two one new man, making peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to Yahweh through the torture stake, having slain the enmity by it. And he came and preached peace to you that were far off, and peace to them that were near. For through him we have both our access in one spirit to the Father." That's important for us to understand, brother. See? That's very important for us to understand that it's Yahshua that has given us the promise of reconciliation. and drop down to Ephesians 4, verse 1. Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner in Yahweh, beseech you that walk worthily of the calling with which you were called. Because Yahweh is the one that's called us, brethren. He's called us to be a part of his kingdom to come. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another, in love, giving diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, brethren, and one Spirit, even as you were also called in one hope of your calling, one Master, one faith, one baptism, one El and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. But to each one of us was the grace given according to the measure of the gift of the Messiah. We know that that gift is the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read something from this book that I've been reading that has inspired this series of messages. And it's entitled War of Words, because Satan came with these words to divide. So we know it's through communication, because that's how Yahweh has dealt with us. He's taught us through communication, through his words. It says, true repentance begins with a heart that rests in the work of the Messiah and the many promises that flow out of his victory over sin. And I'm highlighting these six of the promises because they are what encouraged me to come out of the darkness into the searching light of truth. Sin produces guilt, shame, and fear. But only Yahweh's perfect love drives it all away. In his great and precious promises, I really do find everything I need to do what he has called me to do. 2 Peter chapter 1. Start in verse 3. It says, seeing that his supernatural power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and holiness through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the heavenly nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world by lust. And yes, we have overcome this world through the blood of Yahshua the Messiah. The fifth promise is wisdom. And Almighty Yahweh has given us that wisdom. In Jacob or James in the King James Version, chapter 1, chapter 10, Jacob, a servant of Yahweh and of the Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, to the 12 tribes which are of the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptation. Manifold temptation. Knowing that the proving of your faith works patience, and let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of Yahweh, who gives to all liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, doubting nothing. We can't doubt like some of the disciples did. We have to have faith. But he that doubts is like the surge of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of Yahweh. A double man, the double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. But all we have to do is ask of Yahweh. And we know in the Psalms and in Proverbs, there's many, many scriptures that refer back and teach us and talk about wisdom. Like Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1, it says, does not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice on the top of high places by the way, where the paths meet? She stands beside the gate at the entry of the city. And that's where the elders stood. Oh, you simple. At the coming in at the door, she cries aloud, to you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. Oh, you simple, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I speak, I will speak excellent things. And the opening of my lips shall be right things, for my mouth shall utter truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing crooked or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understands, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies. And all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, have made prudence my dwelling, and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of Yahweh is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the perverse mouth do I hate. This is why Yahweh did not want Adam and Eve to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He didn't want them to know evil. He doesn't want us to know evil. Counsel is mine and sound knowledge. I am understanding, I have might. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me diligently shall find me. The last promise. His mercy. And Almighty Yahweh has given us and shown us mercy. Turn with me to the book of Galatians. A letter of Paul to the Messianic Assemblies of Galatia. Verse chapter 1, it says, Paul, an apostle, not from men, neither through man, but through Yahshua the Messiah and Yahweh the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren that are with me, to the assemblies at Galatia, grace to you and peace from Yahweh the Father and our Sovereign Yahshua the Messiah, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us out of this present evil world, according to the will of our El and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so quickly removing from him that called you in the grace of the Messiah to a different good tidings, which is not another, only there are some that trouble you and would pervert the good tidings of the Messiah. But though we or an angel from heaven should preach to you any evangel other than that which we preach to you, let him be anathema, a curse. And we have said before, so I now say again, if any man preaches to you any good tidings other than that which you receive, let him be anathema, a curse. For I am now seeking the favor of men or of Elohim, or am I striving to please men? If I was still pleasing men, I should not be a servant of the Messiah. And I have to concur. The same for each and every one of us. Almighty Yahweh has shown us mercy in revealing to us that salvation of Yahshua the Messiah. In verse 11 it says, for I make known to you, brethren, as touching the good tidings, which was preached by me, that it is not after man. For neither did I receive it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came to me through revelation of Yahshua the Messiah. For you have heard of my manner of life in time past in the Jews' religion. He makes a distinction between what his faith is now in the Jews' religion. How that beyond measure I persecuted the assembly of Yahweh and made havoc of it. And I advanced in the Jews' religion beyond many of my own age among my countrymen, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. And I'm telling you today that so many people are steeped in these traditions yet today. See? But when it was good pleasure, the good pleasure of Yahweh, who separated me even from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, that term grace is another term for mercy, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them that were apostles before me, but I went away to Arabia, and again I returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem. So it was 3 years later to visit Peter, Cephas, and stayed with him 15 days. But I saw none other of the apostles except Yaakov, Jacob, Yahshua's brother. Now touching the things which I write to you, behold, before Elohim I do not lie. Then I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown by face to the assemblies of Judea, which were in the Messiah. But they only heard say, he that once persecuted us now preaches the faith of which he once made havoc, and they glorified Elohim in me. The Almighty Yahweh is trying to take his people, those that have been disconnected, and reconnect them to the source. Almighty Yahweh is giving each one of us the Holy Spirit, which is what connects us to Almighty Yahweh. And we know that Holy Spirit is given to those that are doing Yahweh's will and keeping his covenant. It tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, it says, I thank Elohim whom I serve from my forefathers in a pure conscience, how unceasingly in my remembrance of you, in my supplication, night and day, longing to see you, remembering your tears, that I may be filled with joy, having been reminded of the unfeigned faith, the unpretended faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded in you also, for which cause I put you in remembrance, that you stir up the gift of Yahweh, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For Yahweh gave us not a spirit of fearfulness, but of power and love and discipline. Be not ashamed, therefore, of the testimony of our master, nor of me, his prisoner, but suffer hardship with the good tidings according to the power of Yahweh, who saved us and called us with holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, that mercy again, which was given us in the Messiah, Yahshua, before times eternal, but now has been manifested by the appearing of our Savior, the Messiah, Yahshua, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the good tidings, to which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher, for which cause I suffer also these things, yet I am not ashamed, and neither can we be ashamed, brethren, of the promises that Yahweh has given us. For I know him whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. Hold the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me, and faith and love which is in the Messiah Yahshua, that the good thing which was committed to you guard you through the Holy Spirit which dwells in us. See, we have been connected to Almighty Yahweh through his Holy Spirit, through Yahshua the Messiah. Almighty Yahweh has blessed each and every one of us with this knowledge. This knowledge is not in all men. We've been given something special, brethren, because we're connected to the source. We're connected to Almighty Yahweh through his Son, Yahshua the Messiah. For our closing passage, turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in the Messiah Yahshua. For the law of the Spirit of life in the Messiah Yahshua made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, Yahweh sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the ordinance of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh, For they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind of the flesh is enmity against Yahweh, for it is not subject to the law of Yahweh, neither indeed can it be. And they that are in the flesh cannot please Yahweh. But you are not in the flesh, but the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of Yahweh dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of the Messiah, he is none of his. But we know that we have the Spirit of Almighty Yahweh. Drop down to verse 26. It says, in like manner, the Spirit also helps our infirmity, for we know not how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us through with groaning, which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts, because that's what it's all about, brother. That's where Yahshua exposed the wickedness. It comes out through the heart, through the mouth. If evil's in there, it'll come out. But he that searches the heart knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because it makes intercession for the saints according to the will of Yahweh. And we know that to them that love Yahweh, all things work together for good, even to them that are called according to his purpose. That's something that we need to know, brethren, what our purpose is, each and every one of us. For whom he foreknew, he also foreordained to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he foreordained, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. See, Almighty Yahweh has called a group of people. And those people are watchmen. They are placed to witness and to rebuke the sin that they see around them. Not in a negative way. You can rebuke someone without doing it harshly. You can do it in love. And this is what Yahweh wants us to do. He wants us to warn the wicked to turn from their evil way, to be reconnected to the source, to come back to Yahweh before it's too late. So, brethren, as we humble our hearts, as we come back to Almighty Yahweh, as we are connected to the source through Yahshua the Messiah shed blood, let us give glory to Almighty Yahweh and praise to his great name each and every day. And we thank Almighty Yahweh for calling us out of this dark and dying world into his marvelous light. And may Almighty Yahweh bless each and every one of you as you seek to be reconnected to the source. If you will all rise at this time, we'll have a closing prayer. Father Yahweh, we humbly bow before your throne of grace. We thank you, Father, for the blessings from on high. We know, Father, that it's nothing we can do. Our righteousness is as filthy rag, but you've just asked us to trust you and to turn it over and give it all to you, surrender to you. Through the shed blood of Yahshua the Messiah, you've cleansed our lives. You've given us the hope of being a part of your kingdom. All we have to do is walk in faith and not by sight, but to be forgiving to our brethren, to our neighbor, to our enemy. The same things that we want from you, we have to be willing to give to others. So we ask, Father, that you would raise up a chosen people in these last days a people who are hungering and thirsting for your righteousness. Truly, Father, we know that we have but a short time before Yahshua returns. So we ask, Father, that you would help us to do your will with all our might so that we would live a life of overcoming and people would see our lives and give glory to you and praise to your holy name. We thank you again, Father, for the sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, and his shed blood, which is what gives us that opportunity to be a part of your kingdom. And that's what gives us the salvation that we seek. Your Son, his shed blood, his overcoming this world, so that we know we can overcome it as well as we walk in his footsteps to do your will and be reconnected to you. In Yahshua's name, we ask all his favors and blessings. Hallelujah. You take your songbooks in hand.